We are in the book of Nehemiah. If you'll stand, if you will, out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able. We are here in Nehemiah chapter 4. We'll read together these seven verses or so, from verses 7 through 14 tonight, as we continue to look at what's going on here with the people of God as they endeavor to accomplish this task laid upon Nehemiah's heart. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came by, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore I set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. In the preceding verses in Nehemiah here, we see that these 42 groups of people are building their own areas of the wall there and continuing in spite of criticism from without. They're being criticized and mocked and made fun of, that even a fox would running by would knock the wall over because it was such a shabby job and built with rubble. And what good could come of that? These people were putting their hearts and souls and strength into this project. So they're being made fun of and told that these things will never accomplish anything. And if they did, it wouldn't matter because, just to rebel against the king and to do all these things. And they're just making stuff up as they go. But they prayed to God. They persisted in the work. And as a result, the wall was half finished in record time. I mean, think about what they were accomplishing. And just all that it took to accomplish the small bit that they had. They were told in the verse here verse 6, that it was up to the half thereof. Now, you can go and study and look and see what the wall of Jerusalem was like at this time, or previous to this time, when it was torn down before the captivity. Can I tell you something? It's a big wall. All right? Just look at the pictures or of artists' renderings and stuff of the city of Jerusalem, or just look at the history books of what these walled cities were like. Okay? It wasn't, like the side of this building. You understand that it just pales in comparison to what it was like at Jerusalem. Has anybody had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem? Hooray! Brother Parks. Pretty big wall, isn't it? Yeah. And that's nothing like really what it was like when it was first built that way. This was actually a great accomplishment, but the devil always downplays things. You know, he says, oh, you only had 150. You could have had so many more. You only got to see 6 people saved out soul winning yesterday, but that's nothing compared to some churches out there. You little church here in Wiley, you're not really accomplishing much for the cause of Christ. And to what end are you doing all of this and sacrificing and giving and praying and working and sweating and All of these things. Losing your voice to little kids that don't give you candy. For what? For what? That just came to me. I don't know. It was really good. But the devil always tries to do that to us, doesn't he? You know, there are other churches out there that are bigger than our church. There are other churches that are maybe seeing hundreds of people saved throughout the course of a year. I remember my time in Arlington. I 2007 maybe or 8, till the time I left, I pretty much did all the baptizing at the church there. And I tell you what, I baptized a lot of people. Lots of people. On a friend day, I'd baptize 20, maybe 30 people all at once. And you say, well, we've only seen a handful of people baptized here at this church. That's not much. It is. Little is much when God is in it. You understand that it's all about perspective. And the devil always tries to downplay things. He always tries to, oh, it's no big deal. Just think about this. You go tell a lie. Oh, it's no big deal, right? You do something bad, sin against God. Oh, and that's no big deal. Right? The devil's always trying to downplay things. He's always trying to lessen whatever it is that's taking place in our lives. And he's good at it, folks. And people believe him. Churches like ours believe him. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. Could you imagine if these people, accomplishing this great task, they've been inspired not only by Nehemiah, but by God, to strengthen themselves to do this work. And they're doing it. And they're not listening to those voices without. They're pressing forward. They're persisting. They are having a mind to work. And they're getting something done. But then it doesn't stop, you understand? So first the devil tries to kind of subtly take care of us or get us to get out of the way. He downplays things and makes mockery and makes fun of things and says, oh, well, that's not really much at all. But then when we persist and we have a mind to work, look at verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now there's some physical threatenings. You know, the devil is not content with just trying to pick at us with the little things. If we persist, he ups the ante as well. He says, hey, all right, you're going to keep going. You're going to ignore all these things that I'm trying to get you down and discouraged with. Okay, let's see how you fight. Let's see how you deal with the physical things. I mean, think about Job in his life. So God is there and Satan comes and don't forget the whole premise of the story. God says, hey, see Job? He's my servant down there. And Job's like, God, why'd you do that? Why'd you have to bring my name up, you know? You ever thought about that? Maybe in heaven they're talking about that. God, why'd you, you know? I don't know. But the devil says, okay, you know, God, you're protecting him. You got a hedge of protection around him. Drop the hedge and I'll tell you what, he'll curse you to your face. So Job begins to lose material possessions and things. All right. So then Satan comes back again. Then what? Sickness? The boils? He touches him physically. You know, Satan doesn't just quit, folks. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, God, I took away all his stuff, but you didn't let me touch his physical body. And it, boy, if I did that, then he surely would curse you to your face. So the people here, they start to conspire and say, hey, we're gonna come up against you. We're gonna kill you. When you least expect it, we'll suddenly be upon you and we're gonna slay you. We're gonna come and we're gonna come in and tear all this down and make this work stop. You understand that the devil's not gonna quit just because we buck up and resist him. He's gonna try to attack us physically. He's gonna try to come in and physically divide things in the local church. Hey, listen, I know in the 22 years of existence of this church, there have been some divisions. There have been some difficulties. And some things where the devil tries to just gnaw away at us and try to discourage and all these things. But then sometimes he sends things in to physically disrupt the church. You've heard of church splits before, right? And people coming into the church and trying to pull away members and to draw people away and do those things. You know, actually, and not to scare you or anything, but we ought to just be prepared, okay? Do you know that there are other religions out there training people to do that very thing? There are. There are religions that are out there training people to come into churches like ours and purposely divide them. They're training people for that. I have a solution for that. It's called .380. But, you know, it works. Or 9mm, you know, works too. Some of y'all got that. Okay. It's a viable solution. Just saying. Don't mess with God's church, especially when I'm the pastor. You might pay for it. Now, with that said, we need to step up to the challenge. We need to be prepared. Look at what Nehemiah does and helps the people to see as they continue doing the work. I had said last week that when these attacks and these discouragements and these mockeries and these things that people are saying, that we have to ignore that. Just turn them off. And that's true. Don't even listen to that junk. You know what? I don't even watch the news anymore. It's just, because it's just so discouraged. Like, it just makes me mad anyway, so I might as well do something else with my time. But you understand that just when that comes, you know, we just need to turn away from it. Just forget that nonsense. But when there are these threatenings and these things that are about to come out, we need to prepare for the fight. We've been talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Hey, what good is a sword if you don't know how to use it? What good is having all this armor on and you're just kind of clanking around? What did David say to Saul? I can't use these. I've not proved them. I don't know how they function. I don't know how they work in battle. I don't know if when I walk forward, this helmet's going to close shut on my eyes. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to move around with this big old breastplate on. And you know, I might not be able to run with these gauntlet thingies on my feet and all this stuff. And, you know, I think gauntlets go on the arms, but whatever. You know, I'm not going to be able to move because I don't know how they work. Well, same is true with us. We need to prove the things that God has given us to wear into battle. We need to make sure that we know how to utilize them, how best they are for defense or for attacking and such and so forth. But the people here, they have a nevertheless mentality. And in verse 9 it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Again, like I said this morning about prayer, it's that all-encompassing thing, that thing that's interwoven into our lives as believers that we've got to have. So they did pray, just like before. When the railings and the accusations and the mockeries and all these things came, they prayed. And they continued the work. Now here, they're going to pray again. And look what they do, instead of just continuing the work. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them, day and night, because of them. I said, okay, they say they're going to come and attack us. We're going to set up a watch and see what's going to happen. Hey, listen, folks. Do you believe that this book has been given to us to be a guide and a help? Okay, it says in the New Testament that there are going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that creep in unawares. You know what? I'm glad that our church has been called a very loving, friendly, welcoming church. And we ought to be. But don't be a friendly, loving, welcoming, stupid church. I'm just being blunt, okay? Because I don't know any other way to be. Just because you're friendly and you're welcoming doesn't mean I'm going to let anybody come in and destroy this church. Doesn't mean I'm going to be looking out for some little wolf fur under the wool. Oh, welcome into our church. Oh, it's your first Sunday. Hey, next week, would you teach a Sunday school lesson? No! That's stupid, okay? I'm sorry. We can be friendly, loving, welcoming, but we don't have to be fools. We don't have to be foolish. You say, but we really need the workers. And you're really asking for trouble. We've got to be careful. So they set a watch against them because of them. Why did they have to set the watch? Because they knew the enemy might be coming. Hey, folks, the devil hates Lighthouse Baptist Church. The devil hates the fact that you're Christians and believers that want to hand out gospel tracts and pray for people and see people saved and baptized and added to the church. And he hates that. So yeah, he's going to try to turn up things here and destroy things here. Of course he is. So you know what we need? Set a watch. Pay attention. Look out for these things. Now, that doesn't mean we're all cynical and you know, sure, you're visiting our church. Is there a reason why? I don't want anybody going to get a flashlight on. Where were you? We're not grilling people and interrogating. I'm just saying pay attention. Set a watch. Just be wise about it. Faith without works is dead, folks. We've got to do something. When the going gets tough, are you going to get going or are you going to be gone? Which one? Okay, I mean, we've got to be about the work and we've got to make a plan and work that plan. So we made our prayer unto our God. We set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, many of these people were encouraged. They were prepared for the task at hand. They had a solution to these difficulties. But look at old Judah here. Now, this is not an individual. This is a group of people, the children of Judah. Judah here, they say, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. You know, even amidst the battle, there are going to be some from within that are the voices of discouragement. We've got to be careful with that. Now, we're not going to throw those people out of the church. But you understand that we need to help them. Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens? Doesn't it say we're supposed to sharpen each other and strengthen each other and help each other overcome these difficulties? You see, Nehemiah understood what it took to keep everybody together, to keep everybody on the same page, to keep everybody on the task at hand. It says, and it came to pass in verse 12, that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So now we have some more people being discouraging. And guess what? That can multiply and multiply and multiply if a church is not careful. Folks, we need to be careful of discouragement from within. We need to speak words of encouragement, not discouragement. I had the privilege of talking to the man that delivered our bounty thingies today to us for the fair. And he's a Christian man, and he was asking me what I thought about Christianity today and how it seems to be dwindling as far as an overall idea in our society. And guess what? It kind of is in many ways. And I told him, I said, well, actually, I'm not really surprised because the Bible tells us that it's going to be like that as the coming of Christ comes near. Can I tell you something? To a lot of people, that can be discouraging. Oh, we're not seeing as many people saved as we used to. Oh, we're not seeing the buses bring in as many people as we used to. The church attendance in places is not what it used to be. Back in the 60s and the 70s and the heyday of fundamental Baptists. It's just not like that anymore. Okay, let's just close the doors and go home then. You see how that can lead to discouragement? Oh, hey, Pastor, didn't you read in the Bible? The Bible says that as the coming of the Lord approaches, that it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Noah was preaching and preaching and preaching and nobody was listening. As far as we know, Noah didn't have any converts besides his family. That's all that was saved in the ark. Could there have been more? Oh, sure. We serve a whosoever God. He's not just a whosoever God now. He was a whosoever God then. So it can be discouraging. But you know what I told him? I said, but I don't think it's meant to discourage us. I think those things in the Bible are told to us to encourage us to work harder. Encourage us to fight more as we see the day approaching. If soul winning's harder, then we'll do it more so we can get some more results. If it takes having more church services to accomplish the task, then let's get more church services. I don't take it as a discouragement. Hey, could these people... hey, have had a different attitude toward building the wall. But they were kind of discouraging, weren't they? Now we have all this stuff in the way and our burdens are greater and there's much rubbish here and we're not able to build the wall. Okay. Folks, it may be harder than it was. Just recently somebody asked me about revival. Do I think that we'll ever see great revivals happen again? Well, I don't know. I hope so. But according to what the Bible says, I don't know that we will. But does that mean we don't try? Let's try. I know the rubbish is there. I know it's harder to build a wall than it used to be. But let's just move the rubbish and try anyway. We need to learn to be encouragers instead of discouragers. Are these things true? Were these people trying to come against them? Yes. Was there rubbish in the way? Yes. But it all depends on how you look at it. Is your half always... half. Bleh. Is your glass always half empty? I don't want to encourage any of you to be like me, but because that's just... too strange. But I'm a guy that sees every glass full. It doesn't matter what glass it is. It doesn't matter what's in the glass. Every glass that I look at is full. You say, what if it only has 50% of the glass full of water? Well, the other 50% is full of air. So it's all full. Okay, that's how I see every glass. It just depends on how you look at it. Okay, even an empty glass is full. It's full. Guess what it's full of? Air. Yeah. So, you know, it's full. So it just depends on how you look. I'm glad that was there. It's a great illustration. We've got to understand that there people are discouraged. So they did, and let me ask you a question. Were they wrong in the comments that they said? No. But the attitude with which they said it was actually detrimental. Why? Because it caused others to feel the same way. If we're not careful, we may be speaking truth, and yeah, it's true. Yes, it's harder to win people to Christ these days. Yes, we may not see revival happen like it used to happen. We may not see great big surges in church growth and such and so forth. But that doesn't mean that we can't be happy, joyful, abundant, thriving, serving the Lord with gladness, with a smile on our face, or in here with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, just... Whistle while you work. Okay, all right. It's happy. You know, there's no reason we can't. Oh, this rubble's in my way again. We can't build this wall. We're never going to get it done. We just got back in the 70s, Baptist churches were. Get out of the 70s. I did. I'm 45 now, and it's 2000. Okay, I was born in the 70s. All right. Now, God is still God, folks. The victory will ultimately be ours if we continue to do His work. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. That's a promise. Were they going to build this wall? Yes. Did God want this wall built? Yes. Okay. Was He going to use somebody to do it? Yeah, might as well be them. Did it matter how long it took? No. Did it matter the circumstances? Did it matter how many enemies came against them? What they said or what they did? No. Because God's still God. He's still in control. He's going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. And He may use you, or if you don't want to be used, He'll use somebody else. But He's going to get it done. So look at verse 14. Or verse 13, rather. Therefore, Nehemiah says, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Look at Nehemiah's response to the discouragement and the negativity of these people. He said, they're going to come at us, and they're going to destroy us, and they're going to come from all sides, and they're going to do these things, and we don't know where they're going to come. All right, so let's put you here with your swords and you here with your bows, and we're going to put people up high, we're going to put people down low, and we're going to prepare for this attack, this imminent attack. So Nehemiah had a positive attitude. He said, hey, look, all right, we're going to defend ourselves, guys. We're going to plan for this. We're going to get it done. In verse 14, he said, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. And that's what I would say to you. As the devil tries to talk us down in this day and time, as he tries to discourage us and say that, hey, we're not seeing as many people saved, and we're not seeing churches grow as fast, and we're not seeing bus ministries flourish anymore, and all these things are happening. I will say to you today, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. God still wants people to be saved today. God still wants churches to produce work for Him and produce fruit and to be a shining light in their communities. God wants individual Christians to live a life of holiness and separation and godliness and be a testimony to others. He still does. And who cares if it's not as effective? Who cares if not as many people are saved? Who cares if churches aren't as large? That's not yours and my business. That's His business. Remember the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the one responsible. It's His harvest. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. You and I don't always know. Nehemiah didn't necessarily know what God was doing. He just knew he had a great burden, that God was showing Himself mighty in his life. He was able to encourage the people. They had seen some miraculous things take place. And now there was a little discouragement rising up its ugly head. And Nehemiah just simply says, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord." And he further encourages them, which is great and terrible. "And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." It's a rally cry. Folks, listen. In this day and time, we're here to build the wall. We're here to build things for the Lord. And guess what? I'm not going to be around forever. I'm already 45 years old. I mean, that's already ancient in some people's books. And all of those of you that are older than me, yeah, amen. Folks, we're not going to be around forever. But what about our children? And our grandchildren? And our great-grandchildren? Wouldn't it be nice for them to have a strong, good local church to be a part of? Wouldn't it be good for them to have and know the truth of the Word of God? Wouldn't you want them to be able to know about salvation? Because, you know, they don't just inherit it just because, oh, my daddy's a preacher. Well, big whoop-de-ding. Doesn't mean you get salvation. But who's going to tell them if we don't pass it on to the next generation? He says, hey, fight. Fight for your families. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your houses. Fight for your wives, your sons, your daughters. And fight. Nehemiah was trying to build up the people. He was trying to encourage them. God tells us to build up one another. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men, all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men, dearly beloved. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." What did he say? Remember the Lord. He's the one. You know, God will fight for us. God fought for them in the past. This is the Lord's work. Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. You see, folks, this will produce great dividends. Look at verse 15. "It came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." You know what the devil's expecting when he deals out these threatenings? That we're going to fold. And we're just going to stop. We're just going to dwindle. We're just going to shut up. We're just going to quit the work. We're just going to pack up shop and go home because it's just too hard. It's just too dangerous. It's just too difficult. That's what he's expecting. What are we going to do? Okay, let me ask you this. What about if we were in some foreign country where there was no freedom of religion? Would any of us attend an underground church that couldn't meet in the same place twice for fear of their lives or imprisonment? Would you? Would you go to church? Hey, do you know that there are some places where it's illegal to be a witness, a gospel witness, in public? In this world, right now, in 2022, it's illegal in some countries to publicly declare Jesus Christ. Would you do it anyways? Would you be like the apostles and say we ought to obey God rather than man? Willing, listen, just because you do that doesn't mean God's going to let you off without any punishment. Because the people, there are still governments and things like that in place. But see, these apostles, these disciples, and even Nehemiah, they were willing to suffer the consequences. We have missionaries around the world that are willing to suffer the consequences if they get caught preaching the gospel. That's why some of these missionaries, we're not able to post their stuff online because they're trying to protect themselves. Would we be willing to do that kind of work if that was the case here in Wiley? Here in America? God wants us to be involved in the work. He wants us to speak words of encouragement. He wants us to prepare. He wants us to overcome. If we're going to accomplish God's will and purpose for our lives, we must remember that prayer by itself is not enough. Did you notice that as we've been studying in Ephesians, it doesn't say, beware of the wiles of the devil and principalities and powers and pray. No, it's supposed to put on the whole armor of God and pray. How about this? Work by itself is not enough. Faith without works is dead, right? But what do you need? A faith. Whole armor of God, praying always. They work together. We must set a watch. We must be encouragers. We must prepare for the battle. We must remember our God. We must pray. We must trust Him. Folks, we've got to do the work and be successful. I've referenced the folks in Acts. Let me just read this to you because it's just so moving to me. And being let go, they went unto their own company and reported that all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that therein, all in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers that were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Folks, that needs to be us today. As problems arise, As criticisms and brute force present themselves, we need to be encouraged in the work of the Lord, not discouraged by those things without. Did you notice here in these several verses, several times they prayed and they had a mind to work. And they prayed and they prepared. They set a watch. They did what God told them to do. When dissension came in amongst themselves and discouragement came in amongst themselves, Nehemiah said to them, remember the Lord. Let's prepare for battle. We've got bows, we've got swords, we've got people. We can make ready and prepare against this attack. And as soon as the enemy heard that we were prepared, they backed off. God brought their counsel to naught. Because God wants His work to prevail. Does God want the local church to prevail? Yes. Does God want us in 2022 to prevail? When Jesus said, bear fruit, He was just talking to the first century church, right? He was just talking to the apostles, right? When He said, live a holy life, He was just talking. That wasn't, certainly God knows that today that's quite impossible. No, it's not. It may be harder than it was before, but nothing's impossible with God. Don't let discouragement rob you of your security in God. Don't forget what God has already accomplished through you. Hey, this local church has had some wonderful victories. It's had some hard times too. Don't dwell on those things. Press forward. Press toward the mark. When we've lost our strength and our vision, we lose our confidence. We've got to remember what God has done for us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to remember our God. We remember that He is great and terrible, and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. These things are what we ought to do. Oh, in Hebrews 12, don't forget, dear Christian, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, we have a work to do. We have a wall to build. The job's not done. The task is daunting. I'm not going to argue with you on that. Oh, can it be discouraging? Oh, sure it can. Are these things real? Yes, they are. Is it going to be harder to see people saved and a church grow in this day and time? Yes. Bring it on. Bring it on. That's the attitude we need to have. What was Nehemiah's attitude? Okay. Y'all want to talk? I can handle that. All right, you guys. Bows down here. Bows over there, swords here, swords there. We're ready. Come on. You want to attack us? We'll meet that challenge. Remember the Lord, folks. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your families. Hey, it's hard. Christian, it's harder to see people saved today. Bring it. It's harder to grow a church. Bring it. Can't run a bus ministry anymore. Oh, yeah? I got the keys. Let's go start it up. It's all about our attitude. Nehemiah had the right attitude. And he encouraged the people, even in the midst of discouragement. He was the voice of encouragement. Folks, there's going to be murmurings. And don't jump on folks because they're discouraged. It's a natural thing. Be the encourager, not the discourager. We can accomplish the work God wants us to, but we've got to remember that God told us these things are going to be like this. Nehemiah knew there was going to be rubble in the way. Nehemiah knew these people were not going to be happy. And he was there to strengthen and encourage the people as they were accomplishing the task at hand for the Lord.